ज्ञान चमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वन्देहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके, आई डील विद प्रभुपाद comment to chapter 2 texts 9, 10, 11 also. Now I'll deal with the Acharya's explanations. I first start with Bhaktivinoda's first commentary and Vishwanath Chakravarti. If I notice any new point, then I'll bring it up. Okay, here is Vishwanath Chakravarti on text 10. O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the army, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. अहो तवापि एतावान् खल्व विवेक इति सख्यभावेन तं प्रहसन् अनौचित्य प्रकाशेन मजाम्बुदौ निमजयन् इवेति तदानीं शिष्यभावं प्राप्ते तस्मिन् हास्यम् अनुचितम् इति अधरोष्ट निकुञ्चनेन हास्यम् आवृण्वंश्चेति अर्थः। ही सेइंग दैट कृष्णा वाज थिंकिंग दैट ओ इवन यू हैव बिकम सो अनइंटेलिजेंट एंड ही वाज स्माइलिंग इन अ फ्रेंडली एटीट्यूड but because it is unsuitable, he was drowning in an ocean of embarrassment. But once he accepted Arjuna as his disciple, then smiling is unsuitable for that, because between a spiritual master and disciple, one has to be sober. So the Lord, he controlled his, he concealed his smiling. Okay, then we come to text 11. Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neime janadipah chayivana bhavishyamas sarve vayamatah param. Well, ashochana anushochastvam pragyavadamsha bhashase gadasam nagadasam shan anushochanti pandita natvevaham jatunasam natvam neime janadipah chayivana bhavishyamate sarve vayamatah param. Bhaktivinod points out, Atma avinashi, atave shokir kon karan nai. The Atma cannot be destroyed. There is no point, there is no cause to lament over this. Atma dvividha, Paramatma or Jivatma. There are two types of Atmas, Paramatma and Jivatma. Ami Paramatma, tumi o ei nirupati varga sakale Jivatma. I am the Paramatma. You and all these kings, you're all jivatmas. And all of us exist, all of us did not exist, all of us will not exist. Which means all of us existed and all of us will exist. Vishwanath Chakravarti. Bho Arjuna. तवायं बंधु वध हेतुक शोक भ्रमोलक your lamentation about the killing of these relatives is founded on bewilderment. Tatha katham bhishma aham sankhye ityadika vivekascha apragyamulaka eva. And your statement that how can I kill Bhishma and Drona in this battle, these statements are all founded in ignorance. With this in mind, he spoke the words Ashochyan Anvashochastvam, that you have lamented over that those for which you which are not worthy of lamentation. Tathatvam prabhodayantam mam prati pragyavadan pragyayam satyam eva ye vadaha katham bhishma aham sankhye ityadini vakyani tan bhashase na tu tava kapi pragya vartate iti bhav. And on top of it, you're trying to enlighten me. But the reality is, you have no intelligence at all. Yataha panditaha pragyavantaha gatasun gatta gataha nisritaha bhavanti asavaha yebhyaha tan stuladehan na shochanti. Because learned people do not lament for the gross bodies. Gatasun means the gross bodies. Gata means lost. Asun means life heirs. So when the life heirs leave the gross body, the life heirs do leave the gross body. They are sometimes in the gross body, sometimes they leave. The life heirs are subtle. So he takes Gatasun to mean stula dehan, gross bodies. They don't lament for the gross bodies. Tesham nashvara bhavatvad. Because anyway they are temporary, gross bodies have to die. Agatasun anisrita prana sukshma dehan api na shochanti. And they don't lament for the subtle body. The subtle body, the life heirs, they are part of the subtle body. And so subtle bodies, they are never separated from the life heirs. And they don't lament for agatasun. If you look at these two words, they appear in text 2.11, second half. Agatasun, agatasun cha na anushochanti pandita. They don't lament for the subtle bodies too. Why don't they lament for subtle bodies? Tehi mukteh purvam anashvara eva. Because they cannot be destroyed until liberation. So there's no point in lamenting over something which cannot be destroyed. The gross bodies are definitely they are going to be destroyed, and the subtle bodies until liberation will never be destroyed. Upayesham api tatha tatha svabhavasya dushparihartvat. And their natures cannot be changed no matter what you do. Murkhastu pitradi dehebhyah praneshu nisrutayashveva shochanti sukshma dehamstu na te praya parichinvantyatas tairalam. Foolish people, they cry when the bodies of their father are separated from their life heirs. But even they understand that there's no need to lament over the subtle body. You should know that Bhishma and others, they're all living entities with the gross and subtle bodies. Etehi sarve Bhishma daya stula sukshma deha sahita atmana eva. They're all living entities with the gross and subtle bodies. Atmanam tu nityatva teshu shoka pavrittir eva na asti tyatas tvaya yat purvam arthashastra dharmashastram balavadityuktam. Tatramayatu dharmashastra api jnanashastram balavadityuchate iti bhava. So he's saying the living entities are eternal, and therefore there's no point in lamenting over them. So previously you had indicated that higher than the Arthashastras are the Dharma Shastras. You remember in the first chapter that there are various levels of scripture. And I had mentioned that the lowest are the Kama Shastras. Higher than them are the Shastras or Arthashastras meant for politics. Higher than them are Dharma Shastras. Higher than them are Moksha Shastras. Moksha Shastras are also called Jnana Shastras. And then Bhakti Shastras are the highest. So now Krishna is pointing out that that you had indicated that Arthashastras are higher than Dharmashastras are higher than Arthashastras, and therefore an injunction from Dharmashastra should be given more importance than an injunction from Arthashastra. But I want to make you understand that higher than even the Dharmashastras are the Jnanashastras, the ones that promote liberation, the ones which talk about spirituality. From the perspective of spirituality, the living entities are indestructible, and therefore one must perform one's dharma, one's swadharma, with a spiritual orientation. Okay, then regarding Natvevaham, given a very nice explanation directly based on Bhagavatam. Vishwanath Chakravarti is a Bhagavatam commentator, and therefore he views all the scriptures through the spectacles of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can see how he is explaining this verse. Athava sakhe tvam aham eva prichhami. Okay, my dear friend, let me ask you. This is what is in Krishna's mind. Kimche prityaspadasya marane drishte sati shokaha jayate. Tatra iha prityaspadam atma dehaha va. The object of our love, when the object of our love dies, then we lament. Now, who is the object of love? Is it the Atma or is it the body? Sarvesham eva bhutanam nripa swatma eva vallabha iti shukoktehe atma eva prityaspadam iti chet. Now, if you say that Shukadev makes a statement in the Bhagavatam that the dearmost object of love of everyone is actually one's own self. He makes a statement in the 10th canto, in the chapter regarding the stealing of the calves by Lord Brahma. So there, because Vrindavan is a special place, Gokul Vrindavan, where they love the Supreme Personality of Godhead more than anyone else. So there, in that context, Shukadev, he points out that the dearmost object of love is one's own Atma. So if you were to take this statement into consideration, and you say that it's the Atma which is the object of love, tarhi jiveshvara bhedena dvi vidhasya iva atmanah nityatvadeva marana abhavad atma shokasya visheha na ityaha natvevaham iti. So then I should tell you that Atma is divided into two types. There are the jivas and there is the Ishwara, the Supreme Lord. And both of them are eternal, and because both of them are eternal, there is no death for them. And therefore, there is no point in lamenting over the Atma, any of the Atmas, the Supreme Lord Atma or the living entity Atmas. And with this in mind, he speaks the verse, Natvevaham. I am Paramatma, Aham Paramatma, Jatu Kadachidapi Purvam Nasamitina Api Tvasameva. There was no time when I did not exist. That means I always existed. Tatha Tvamapi Jivatma Asireva. And you are a living entity. You always existed. Tathayame janadipa rajanascha jivatmana asanneva iti prag abhava abhava dashita. And these kings, all these kings, they are also jivatmas. And all of them existed. They did not exist. And on top of it, all of us will continue to exist. It is not that we will cease to exist at a certain point in time. Paratmanaha jivatmanam cha nityatvad atma na shoka vishaya iti sadhitam. With this he establishes that the Supreme Soul and the living entities, because they are eternal, they are not objects of lamentation. And then he gives evidence. Atra shrutayaha nityo nityanam chetanas chetanatnam eko bahunam yuvidhati kama nityadhyah. The evidence from the Vedic text is this famous statement. Hare Krishna. Okay, then Baladev Vidyabhushan has given quite a few remarks in addition to what Vishwanatha Chakravarti says. And much of Prabhupada's commentary has some basis on Baladev Vidyabhushan. So I'll read some of his statements. Regarding text 10, he's practically repeating what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying. But in text 11, he gives some further information. He says, he also takes Gatasun to refer to the gross bodies. Learned people don't lament over the gross bodies, which are separable from the life airs. Gatasun. And he says they don't lament over the subtle bodies, which are not separable from the life airs. Cha shabdad atmanascha na shochanti. And the word cha, you notice the word cha here. Gatasun agatasunscha na anushochanti panditaha. Now cha in Sanskrit can also refer to etc. So then the translation would mean, learned people don't lament over the gross bodies, subtle bodies, etc. What is that etc.? That etc. refers to the living entities. They don't lament over the gross bodies, they don't lament over the subtle bodies, they don't lament over the living entities. Ayam artha. The idea is, shokaha stuladeha vinasha nimittaha sukshmadeha vinasha nimittaha va. Are you lamenting because the gross bodies are going to die or because of the subtle bodies? And then he points out that the gross bodies are definitely going to die, so there's no point in lamenting over the gross bodies. And the subtle bodies, they are not going to be destroyed until liberation. Tadvataham atmanam tu shadbhava vikara varjitanam nityatvat na shochyata. And there's no question of lamenting over the living entities, which are free from the sixfold transformations. Now, any living body is subject to sixfold transformations. This is called Shadbhava Vikara, Shadvikara. They take birth, they stay for some time, they grow, they produce byproducts, they dwindle and they die. Jayate, Asti, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Mriyate. These are very famous. Now the living entities, they don't have these features. So, and why they don't have these features? Because they are eternal, by their constitution, by the Lord's will. And therefore there is no point in lamenting over them. Dehatmas vubhava vidam na kopi shoka hetu. There is no point in lamenting over those who understand the nature of the bodies and the souls. Tasmat ashochye shochya brahmaha pamara sadharanaha panditasya te na yogya iti bhava. So this deluded lamentation, this lamentation which you are experiencing, this is because you are confusing between that which is meant to be lamented over and that which is not meant to be lamented over. This is all meant for some ordinary wretched person, not for a learned person like you. Then, regarding Natvivaham, first of all, Bhaktivinoda.
You said you are confusing between two things to be lamented over and things not to be lamented over. I understood things not to be lamented over, but what is the thing to be lamented over?
Like, if we do not take up the activities of Bhakti Yoga seriously, then you are supposed to lament over them. Offenses, you are supposed to lament over them. Sinful activities, we are supposed to lament over them. When we are kept away from the spiritual master who teaches us Bhakti Yoga, we are supposed to lament. So that is shochya. And that lamentation is good. It is good. Whereas this is mundane. This is mundane. In the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the distinction between spiritual and material becomes sharper. When we are beginners, we could be beginners for 30 years also. When we are beginners, the distinction is very vague. It's very vague. Like for instance, I may be attracted to some girl, and because I'm so bewildered, I may think that because she is a Vaishnava, my attraction is also spiritual. And then when I'm enlightened by a bona fide spiritual master, I'll understand that I'm not attracted to the spirit soul who is an eternal servant of Krishna. I'm attracted to her along with her mind and her body and all the upadhikas, material configuration that she is currently displaying. So one is able to perceive that much more clearly. So even though Arjuna is a Vaishnava, Bhishma is a Vaishnava, still Krishna is pointing out that no, you are looking at it from the material perspective. You are lamenting that Bhishma is going to die. You are lamenting that Drona is going to die. But you are thinking like a materialist and lamenting. You are not thinking like a spiritualist and lamenting. When the spiritual master leaves, disciples lament. That is not because of this bewilderment. It may also be due to this bewilderment. To be more accurate, it may be also due to bodily conception of life. Has a mundane conception of the spiritual master. It's possible. Natveva aham jatunasam naptam neve janadipa. Okay, Bhaktivinoda's second commentary states, Ami paramatma itah purve kokono chilam na. Iha kintu na hai, tumi arjun kokono chilena. Iha na hai. It is not that the super soul, I did not exist, nor that you did not exist. So it is with these kings. Paramatma o jivatma uve nitya. Both the paramatma and the living entity, both of them are eternal. Sutraam shokati. And therefore, they are beyond any cause for lamentation. This is the first point that Krishna brings up, that you must understand the difference between the self and the non-self, that which is spirit and which is not spirit. Atma o anatma gyan bujhaiva janna ado atma jatiya paramatma tattve ro jivatma tattve ekadharmatva upadesh purvak bolile. He points out the similarity between the paramatma and the jivatmas by pointing out that the category of spirit is different from the category of matter. And therefore he points out that himself as well as the living entities, all of them are eternal. Okay, here is Baladeva Vidyabhushan's comment. Prabhupada is just following him, more or less. He is summarizing some of his statements, he is expanding some of his statements. Evam, asthana shochitvan. Apanditiam Arjunasya Apadya Taptujigyasam Niyojitanjalim Tamprati Sarveshwaraha Bhagavan Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bhagunam Yogidhati Kaman Iti Shruti Siddham Susma Jivanam Cha Paramarthikam Vedamaha Latve Vahamiti. So, having established that Arjuna is not a learned person, because he is lamenting over that which is not meant to be lamented about, but Arjuna is curious to know about the truth, and he is also submissive. And Arjuna was standing with his palms joined together and humbly requesting Krishna to enlighten him. So Krishna spoke to Arjuna, who was like this, the Supreme Lord of all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first instruction he gave was that there is a paramarthika difference between himself as well as the living entities, as stated in the Shruti, in this verse, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetanam. Now, I mentioned about this, that Shankara, following the lead of the Buddhists, invoked a three-tier reality myth. It's actually a myth. It's not, Vaishnavas don't even accept this. It's completely bogus. That the lowest type of reality, according to Shankara, is called Pratibhasika. What you perceive in a dream. Then a higher plane of reality is called Vyavaharika, conventional reality. And the highest is called Paramarthika, or spiritual. So from Shankaracharya's perspective, the Lord, the living entities, they don't even exist on the highest plane. In the highest plane, there is only one unitary plane of consciousness, which is Brahma. In the conventional plane, in the Vyavaharika plane, that's where you get the Supreme Soul, Paramatma, the innumerable individual souls, Jivatmas, etc. So therefore, the difference between the Paramatma and the Jivatmas is stated repeatedly by the Advaitavadis to be Vyavaharika Bheda. It is a conventional difference. It is not a spiritual difference. It is not a Tattvika Bheda or a Paramarthika Bheda. It is not a real difference. It's just conventional. We talk about it as if they are different. Because from the highest perspective, they are all one. One absolute Nirushesha Brahma, impersonal Brahma. So, Baladev Vidyabhushana says, the very first lesson that he wants to teach in the Bhagavad Gita is that there is a paramarthika difference between the Supreme Lord as well as the living entities. With this in mind, he speaks, Natve Vaham. Hey Arjuna, oh my dear Arjuna, Aham Sarveshvara Bhagavan Itaha Purvam Itaha Purvasmin Nado Kale Jatu Kadachin Nasam Itina Apitvasamena. I, the Lord of all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not that I did not exist in the past. In other words, I always existed. Tathatvam Arjuna Nasiritina Kintvasireva. And you, Arjuna, it is not that you did not exist. You also existed. Ime janadhipa rajanaha nasannitina kintvasaneva. And it is not that these kings did not exist in the past. They also existed. Tatha itaha parasmin ante kale sarve vayam ahamcha tvamcha imecha na bhavishyama itina kintu bhavishyama eveti. And in the future, all of us means I, you, as well as all these kings, it is not that we will not exist, which means we will exist. Sarveshwaravat jivanam traikalika satta yogitvat tad vishayakaha na shokaha yuktaha ityartaha. Just like the Supreme Lord of all, the living entities are also having traikalika satta. That means they have existence in all three phases of time. And because of that, they are also not objects of lamentation. Nacha avidya kritatva vyaviharikoyam bhedaha. One should not assume that this difference is vyavaharika, conventional, created by avidya, created by ignorance or maya. Sarvagye bhagavati avidya ayogat. Because it is not possible for the Supreme Lord, the omniscient Supreme Lord, to have to be influenced by avidya, by ignorance. Idam jnanam upashritya ityadina mokhyepi tasya abhidhasyavanatvaccha. Now he refers to a statement in the 14th chapter, text 2, open 14.2.
He's referring to 14.2.
Yeah. He's referring to 14.2. This is an important text. You'll have to understand the context. Okay, let me first read out 14.1 and then 14.2. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Param Bhuyah Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam Yajyatva Vanayas Sarve Param Siddhim Itogata. The Supreme Personality of God has said, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. Notice, the Sanskrit having known this, all the sages. So that means this is generic, not just some sages. All the sages, all great souls, all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. Param Siddhim. Param means transcendental. Siddhim means perfection. Param Siddhim means transcendental perfection. So this is absolutely spiritual perfection. Spiritual perfection. If you were to use Shankara's framework, this will be paramarthika. It cannot be vyavaharika. Param Siddhim. Supreme perfection.
You mean vyavaharika?
No, no, no. It has to be paramarthika.
If it was Shankaracharya's name.
Yeah. If you were to use Shankara's concept, this cannot refer to a perfection, second class perfection. This is first class perfection.
Oh.
See? Again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. Okay. We are looking at it from a neutral point of view. Without believing in Mayavad or Vaishnava. If you look at it from the neutral point of view. What is he saying? He's saying all the sages, having attained this knowledge which I am going to give you, they have attained transcendental perfection, supreme perfection. And then he says, text 2, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyavagatah sargepi nopajayante pralayena vyathanticha. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. Idam means this. Jnanam means knowledge. Upashritya, taking shelter of, or having taken shelter of. Having taken shelter of this knowledge. Mama, my sadharmyam, my nature, my characteristic, similarity with me. Dharma means characteristic. Sadharmyam means the position of having the same characteristic. Agataha, they attain, or having attained. This now, agataha is in plural, which means he's talking of many living entities. He's talking of many sages. Many sages. Many sages comes from text 1. All the sages. Sarge epi, even in the creation, na, never, upajayante, are born. They are not born, and they are not born even when there is creation on in the material sphere. Pralaye, in the annihilation. Na, nor, yathanti, are disturbed. They are not disturbed at the time of annihilation. Notice that he is using the plural. Plural means what? Means there are multiple living entities. There are multiple living entities, and they are not born at the time of creation. They are not disturbed at the time of annihilation. These are the distinctive characteristics of one who has surpassed the Vyavaharika plane. Because in the material sphere, what do you get? You get creation and dissolution. Creation, dissolution. So, Krishna is pointing out that one who has attained the highest perfection is above this status. And notice that he is talking in plural. There are many living entities like this. And there are many living entities who have attained the same nature as the Supreme Lord.
So the individual.
In other words, individuality remains. And this is happening on the Paramarthika platform, not the Vyavaharika platform, the highest platform of perfection.
So Mayavadis can't refute that.
No, Mayavadis are stuck with this. They're stuck with this. Sarvagya Bhagavati Avidya Ayoga, because the Supreme Lord, the Omniscient Supreme Lord, is not influenced by avidya, ignorance. And itam jnana upashritya ityadina mokshe api tasya abhidhasyamanatvad. Because he is going to say that even at the platform of liberation, this difference between him and the others exists. Notice that he is saying they have attained sadharmyam, which means they have attained the same characteristic as me. They have attained the same characteristic as me. He has not said they become me. They merge into me. They become me. And on top of it, he is referring to them in plural. If they all merge into him, then he would have said, and the one absolute does not take birth, does not get destroyed. He's referring to them in the plural. They are not, they don't take birth when there is creation here, they don't get annihilated when there is annihilation here. Yes.
And the fact that you mentioned Paramahamsa Siddhim, that's the argument that excludes anything other than Paramarthika.
It's Paramahamsa Siddhim, that's one reason. The other is the distinctive characteristic of the highest liberation is put out in Vedanta Sutra as that position from which you don't come to this world. Anavritti Shabdat. You don't come to this. That is what is liberation. Liberation means you are in that position where you don't come back to this world. Here there is avritti. Avritti means there is repetition. You keep, there is creation, maintenance, dissolution. Creation, maintenance, dissolution. Whereas the liberated platform is beyond that. It's anavritti. It's anavritti. So from the Vedanta Sutra as well as Bhagavad Gita, we understand that the distinctive characteristic of the highest liberation is there is no, you don't take birth, you don't die.
Regarding the verses here, the only...
But there's a lot of background to it. I'm just spelling it out. There's a lot of background to it. So that is why he's quoting this verse. There's a lot of background and he's just compressing all of them into these crisp, compressed sutra-like statements. Okay? నచ అభేదజ్ఞస్యాపి హరేర్ బాధితానువృత్తి న్యాయేన ఇయం అర్జునాది భేద దృష్టి ఇది వాచ్యం. నా ద మాయావాదీస్ డోంట్ లీవ్ ఇట్ అట్ దాట్. దే సే నో లార్డ్ హరి హి యాక్చువల్లీ ఈజ్ అవేర్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ వన్, దట్ హీస్ వన్ విత్ ఎవ్రీ వన్. బట్ బై ద ఫినామినా ఆఫ్ బాధితానువృత్తి, లెట్ మీ రైట్ డౌన్ దిస్, is one of the Mayavadi pet theories, Bhadidhanavritti. Like the phenomenon of Bhadidhanavritti, Bhadidhanavritti means I have an eye disease. I discussed this in the previous class. I have an eye disease by which I see every object as double. So when I look at the moon, I see two moons. I know there is only one moon, but still I am seeing two moons. So like that, Lord Hari, he knows that he is actually one, that they are all one impersonal absolute. But because just like you are aware, but you are taking medicines, and so while you are taking medicines, it's still, the perception is still there, even though there is knowledge. There is knowledge that there is one moon. But still, because your eyes are defective, so you are seeing the defect. Your perception is defective too. So Lord Hari, even though he is aware of the impersonal oneness, that everybody is one Atma, by the phenomenon of Bhadidhanavritti, that there is a recurrence of what has conditioned you.
Recurrence of?
What has conditioned you, the conditioning factor. It's like in the case of the perception of Dvichandra, the perception of two moons, my disease is the cause of my reperception. So even though in the morning when I wake up, and I know there's only one moon, but when I look at the moon, at night time when I see two moons. So like that, Lord Hari, by Bhadidhanavritti, he is seeing that, he is perceiving that he is different from the kings and Arjuna. And therefore he is speaking like this, that I did not exist, you did not exist. But instead, the reality, he knows the reality. The reality is there is only one soul. There is only one impersonal absolute. But that is what is causing this perception of plurality. Iti vachyam. One should not state this. Tatha sati upadesha asiddheh. Because if that were to be true, then there is no point in giving an instruction. Because, see, the idea is this.
Prabhupada echoes that.
Yeah, Prabhupada also. He brings it out twice actually. Once in that purport, once in the next purport. That there's no point in giving an instruction. Why would you give an instruction to someone who's yourself? When you know that he is you. When you know that he is you. So that is meaningless. Maru marichika adau udaka buddhihi badita api anuvartamana mithyartha vishayatvan nishchayat na udaka aharanadau pravartayed. Evam abheda bodha badita api anuvartamana arjunadi bheda drishtihi tattvanishaya na upadeshadau pravartayishyatiti yat kinchidetat. So the idea is that, okay, this is, he's bodily taking this from Ramanujacharya, who spelled it out in greater detail. Suppose I were to be in a desert and I see a mirage and I believe there is water there. How do I know whether I am bewildered or I am not bewildered? You can know that by seeing whether I am carrying a bucket to get water from that mirage or not. Suppose I believe, I am looking at a mirage and I believe there is water actually out there. Then definitely I will collect that water. I will do something which proves that I actually believe there is water. So similarly, here, if you say that Bhaditana Vritti is happening and therefore Krishna is using the language of plurality, then you should again, examine why is he instructing Arjuna and others? Why is he doing an activity which is proof that he believes to the contrary? The reason why we know that even though a person is seeing a mirage, he is aware that it is just a mirage, it's not really water. How do we know that?
He won't have a bucket.
He won't do all these things. He won't act like a bewildered soul. So from that we understand that this is an insignificant ideology. Yat kinchideta. This is a foolish, insignificant idea. Ano phalavati agyate arthe shastratatparya vikshana tadrishaha abhedaha tatparya vishayaha vaipalya gyatatvaccha bhedaha tad vishayaha nasya. So then now the Mayavadis also have another idea. That the perception of plurality is common knowledge. It is common perception, to be more clear. It is common perception. Everywhere we see people thinking that they are different from others. Whereas it is known from the scriptures, from the Vedic scriptures, that the Vedic scriptures are teaching that which is not known, that which is not common knowledge, that which is not commonly perceived. And also the Vedas state that special fruit accrue to one who takes advantage of the wisdom of the Vedanta, the Upanishads. Whereas you notice that people who have the perception of plurality, their endeavors are all fruitless. They're spiritually fruitless. It is the perception of plurality which brings about materialism, etc. So therefore, it is not possible to say that difference on the Paramartha platform would be the actual message of the Veda. Rather, we should simply understand that the Vedas are simply outlining what is commonly known in order to refute it later. So they call it Anuvad. This is simply an Anuvad. It's simply a repetition of what is commonly known in order to refute it later. Because you can only understand that which is correct by understanding that which is wrong. So sometimes the Vedas speak that which is wrong in order to refute it. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, Mandametat. This is a dull philosophy. Pratak atmanam preritaram chamatva jushtam statastena amritattvameti ityadina bheda eva amritattva phalashrona. And then he gives his evidence from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which says that bhokta bhogyam preritaram chamatva trividam brahmametat. There are three types of Brahman. One is the enjoyer, one is the enjoyed, and one is the indwelling impeller. The one who impels, who pushes you. So the indwelling impeller refers obviously to the super soul. The super soul is one of the five causes of action, as we will study in the 18th chapter. And he is the one who is causing the wanderings of the living entities. Ishwarasarvabhutanamgrindeshayaryanatishtati. He is the driver of the living entities. The living entities desire, corresponding to their karma, the Lord moves them here and there. So he is the indwelling impeller. The enjoyers refer to the living entities who are trying to enjoy this world. And the enjoyed refers to prakriti, material nature. And we notice in the Vedic literature that the word Brahman is sometimes referred to, is sometimes used with respect to the Supreme Lord. Param Brahma, Param Dham. Sometimes Brahman refers to the living entities. Anadimat Param Brahma, Nasattanna Saduchyate. That you should know the living entities, Brahman, which is subordinate to me. And there are other statements. Sometimes Brahman refers to living entities. Sometimes Brahman refers to prakriti, material nature. Mamayonir Mahat Brahma, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham. I impregnate material nature, which is also called Brahman. So the word Brahman can refer to all three. But the second half of Shvetashvatara Upanishad says that Prathakatmanam Preritaram Chamatva, having understood that the living entity and the impeller are different, Jushtam Tatastena Amritattumeti, and he attains immortality. Now this is a typical wording of the Upanishads. The Upanishads refer to liberation in terms of immortality, in terms of nectar. They attain nectar, the eternal nectar. Ityadina Vedeva Amritattva Phalashravana. And from this we understand that it is the knowledge of the difference between the living entities and the Lord which is the cause of attaining that nectar, the eternal nectar. Viruddha dharma avachanna pratiyogikataya loke tasya agyatatvacha. And it is true that the Vedas are teaching that which is not known. But how can you know, suppose I am saying that you should know the relationship between A and B. In order to know the relationship between A and B, the sambandha, you should know the swarupa, the nature of A and the nature of B. It is not possible to know the relationship between A and B unless you know the natures of the correlates A and B. So he says that you may say that people who don't take advantage of Vedic wisdom, they also perceive plurality. But they will not be able to perceive the difference between themselves and the Supreme Lord, because you cannot understand the nature of the Supreme Lord or the soul without taking advantage of Vedic wisdom. So you really don't actually know the spiritual difference between the Lord and the living entity without taking advantage of the Vedas. So this argument that knowledge of plurality is commonplace, that is wrong. Techa dharma vibhutva anutva swamitva bhrityatvadaya shastraika gamya mitaha viruddha bodhya. And those characteristics, for instance, that the Lord is infinite and that the living entity is infinitesimal, the Lord is the master, the living entities are are servants of that master. These characteristics can be understood only from the scriptures. And these are also the opposites of each other. You see, infinitesimal, infinite. One is a servant, one is a master. These characteristics can only be understood from the scriptures themselves. Abhedas tu aphalaha tatra phala anangikara agyatascha shashashangavat asatvat. Whereas it is the Mayavad philosophy which is fruitless, because they don't accept the reality that's taught in the Vedas, and they don't accept the real fruit of paramarthika bheda, spiritual difference. And it is Mayavad philosophy which is not known, but it is not known, that is true. It is true that Mayavad philosophy is not known, it's not commonly known. But it is not known like the horn of a hare, like the horn of a rabbit. A rabbit doesn't have a horn. So just because You don't see something, doesn't mean it exists and it's the greatest goal. It's the highest goal. It doesn't exist. It really doesn't exist. That's why nobody knows about it. Tasmat paramarthikaha bhedaha siddha. Therefore, the difference between the Lord and the living entities is paramarthika, is established. Now, Ramanujacharya has also gone into this. As I mentioned, that there are only two places in his commentary to Bhagavad Gita where Ramanujacharya enters into a polemic. He goes in great detail and he actually brings out various statements made by the Mayavadis and he deals with it and he produces counter-arguments on behalf of the Mayavadis and refutes it and so on. There are only two places in the Gita he does it. In his commentary to the Vedanta Sutra, he does it like one-third of his book is basically refuting Mayavad. But in Bhagavad Gita, he actually wrote it for practicing devotees, and by tradition, this is the last book that he wrote, and he was very careful in what he gave. He gave it in very simple language. But in these two places, one is his comment to this shloka, chapter 2, text 12, Atvevaham Jaturasam, and the other is chapter 13, text number 3, Kshetragyam Jabhivam Vidhi, because these two have been quite tortured and distorted by Advaitins. So he goes into great detail. But before that, I'll deal with his explanation to text 10. He explains that while smiling or while appearing to speak words of joke, parihasa vakyam vadaniva atma paramatma yathatmyam tat pratyupaya bhuta karma yoga jnana yoga bhakti yoga gocharam natve vaham jatunasam ityarebhya aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshishyami mashucha ityetad antam uvacha ityartaha. When Sanjay says that, and then Krishna smiling, he spoke the following words. It refers to the entire body of teaching, beginning with Natvevaham and ending with Sarvadharma Parityaja, 18.66. And what did he teach there? He taught about the factual nature of the Atma and the Paramatma and how to come to the plane of realizing their natures, which is accomplished by practice of Bhakti Yoga, preceded by Jnana Yoga, preceded by Karma Yoga. This is the general tradition. You perform Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, and then Bhakti Yoga. Now Bhakti Yoga is also open to all for those who haven't practiced Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. But the ancient system is like this. One takes up Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, then Bhakti Yoga. Ashochyan anvashochyaswam pragyavadamsha bhashase gatasu nagatasuchya anashochyanti pandita ashochyan prati anashochasi patanti pitaro hyesham mutupindodaka kriya ityadika. You are lamenting. You make statements like the forefathers are going to fall because nobody will offer them the pinda offerings. Dehatma subhava pragya nimitta vadancha bhashasin. And by making statements like this, you see, look at the nature of this statement, that the forefathers are going to fall down. This statement implies that Arjuna understands that there's a difference between the body and the soul, because the forefathers have already died. And that you are saying that the forefathers are going to fall, that means you understand that the body and soul are different. So on one side you are thinking that that's a difference between the body and the soul. Dehatma subhava jnanavata natra kinchit shoka nivittam asti. But those who know the nature of the difference between the body and the soul, they will not have any lamentation. They will not lament over the bodies and the souls. Gadasom means the bodies, Agadasom means the living entities, the souls. Pratitayoho subhava yatyatmiya vidaha na shochanti. They'll never lament over the bodies or the souls. Atastvayi vipratishiddham midam upalabhyate. Therefore I notice a contradiction in you. Yade etan hanishyami iti anushochanam yachya dehadiritta atma jnanakritam dharma dharma bhashanam. One side you're saying, how can I kill these people? So you're really thinking that how can I kill them? But on the other hand, you're talking of dharma and adharma. Now, you should be aware that in Vedic culture, you cannot practice varnashrama dharma unless and until you are aware that there is a soul which is different from the body and the soul reincarnates according to the laws of karma. This is lesson one. Lesson two is varnashrama dharma, if at all you want to take it as lesson two. Like here also in the Gita you'll see, first of all Krishna spends some 20 verses or so saying that you're not the body. So many ways he explains you're not the body. Then what is the next thing he says? Then the next thing he says is, oh, happy are the Kshatriyas for whom the gates of heavenly planets are open. Why doesn't he put that first and this second? Because in order to practice Varnashrama Dharma, you have to first of all be aware that you are a spirit soul, you don't die, you reincarnate according to the laws of karma. This is absolute fundamental. This is not even spiritual life. This is Vedic mundane life. You have to be, first of all, you have to be aware of that. So Ramanujacharya points out, on one side you are talking of dharma and adharma, which is based on the knowledge that the soul is different from the body. On the other hand, you are saying, I will not kill these people. So I notice this contradiction in you. Ataha deha svabhavam cha na janasi tad atrittam atmanam cha nityam tat praptyupaya bhutam yuddhadikam dharmam cha. So on one side, you don't know the actual nature of the body, that the body is going to die. On the other hand, you don't know that there is an eternal living entity which is eternally separate from the body, and that in order to attain that position of self-realization, you must engage in dharma such as fighting this war. Fighting this war itself is going to lead you to the realization that you are different from this body. So in Varnashrama Dharma, they are not self-realized souls, but they are self-aware souls. They know that there is a soul which is different from the body. Therefore, they can happily go into a war and they can just die, knowing that they are going to attain heavenly bodies in the next life. So they know. So they have theoretical knowledge of the self as being different from the body, but they don't have practical realization. Realization is self-realization, and that self-realization comes by performing dharma with a spiritual orientation. Idam cha yuddham phalabhi santhir rahitam atma yathatmya avapti upaya bhutam. It is this very war which, if you fight without desiring the material success that can accompany it, that will become the very means towards realizing the true nature of yourself. And then he says that the soul is not supposed to be lamented over. Tasya janma marana yor abhava ataha sa na shokastana. You don't have to lament over the soul because there's no birth, there's no death. Dehastu achetanaha pranama svabhava. The body is dead, it's inert matter. It is constantly subject to change. Tasya utpatti vinasha yogaha swabhavikaha. And it is very natural that the body is born and it is going to die. Iti sopina shokastanam iti abhipraya. So Krishna's point is that even the body is not a matter for lamentation. Natve vaham jatunasam nattum neme janajipah. I, Supreme Lord, Ishvara, Sarveshwara, I always existed. You, all those who are subject to my ruling, the Kshetragyas, you are all living entities, knowers of the fields of action, and all of you always existed. And all of us are going to continue to exist. Evam Bhagavata Sarveshwarat Atmanam Parasparam Cha Bheda Paramarthika. That difference is paramarthika, is spiritual. इति भगवदैव उक्तम् इति प्रतीयते अज्ञानमोहितं प्रति तन्निवृत्तये पारमार्थिकनित्यत्व उपदेशसमये अहं त्वम् इमे सर्वे वयम् इति व्यपदेशात्. नौ इट् इस् वेरि क्लियर् दट् द लार्ड्स् फ्रोम् द लार्ड्स् स्पीच् विच् यूसस् वर्ड्स् लैक् ऐ यू दीस् किङ्ग्स् all of us, that he himself is spelling out a spiritual difference between himself and others, whereas it is not appropriate to style this type of difference to be aupadhika or vyavaharika. Aupadhika atma bheda vade hi atma bhedasya atatmikatvena tattva upadesha samaye bheda nirdesho na sangachyate. Now Krishna is beginning to speak reality, knowledge of reality. So once Krishna has begun to speak about reality, it is not appropriate to interpret that Krishna is speaking something which is just mundane. He is just reflecting the thought pattern of the conditioned souls. That is how the Mayavadis take it. Krishna is just reflecting the thought pattern of the conditioned souls. And then he talks about Bhaditanu Vritti, that it continues. And he brings out this. Marichika jala jnanadikam hi bhaditam anuvartamanam api na jalaharana adi pravritti hetu. That when you see a mirage, you don't do anything to bring water. Therefore, Bhaditanu Vritti theory is wrong. Nor can you say that Ishwara, the Supreme Lord, was previously ignorant, and that from the scriptures he attained knowledge of the absolute truth, which is one impersonal plane of unitary consciousness. That idea is also wrong, because we hear from the scriptures, both the Shruti and Smriti, yes sarvag yes sarvavit, that there is a super soul. Who is omniscient, who obtains everything that he wants. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. That Supreme Soul's potencies are of varied types and they are natural to him. And he has these potencies, knowledge, strength, activity, etc. And even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will state, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani maam tu vedana kashchana. That I know everything in the past and everything in the future, everything in the present also, but no living entities know about me. So that idea that the Supreme Lord was in ignorance before, and from the scriptures he became enlightened and realized that everything is one, that theory is also wrong. And then he brings up this theory of reflection. There is the Mayavadis often bring up this concept of reflection. Like I brought out on Saturday, there is one sun and then you have various pots of water. And you are seeing multiple reflections of sun. But those reflections of sun are based on the water. The moment you empty the water, the reflection suns disappear. So similarly, we the living entities, we are all reflections. We are not really there. So it is wrong to think that the living entities, the jivatmas, are eternally existent. Just like it is wrong to think that the reflections of the sun are eternal. The sun may be eternal, but the reflections are not. The reflections are conditional. The moment you remove water, the sun reflections will disappear. So there are many statements giving the example of the sun and its reflections. And the Mayavadis take advantage of those statements, and they state this, that actually there's only one soul which is being reflected into multiple infinitesimal living entities. So they say that. So Ramanujacharya tackles that argument. Pratibimbavat pratiyamanebhyah arjunadibhyah iti che. If you were to say that Arjuna and others are like Krishna's reflections, Naitadupapadyate. No, but this does not, this is not suitable. this is not appropriate. Nahi anurmattah kopi manikripanat darpanadishu pratiyamaneshu swatma pratibimbeshu desham swatmanah ananyatvam janam tebhyah kamapi artham upadishati. He says, there is no person, no man who is non-insane. Same. One who is not man. No personality who is not man, a non-psychopath, will look at his reflections which are, you know, you see multiple reflections. If you look at a gem has multiple faces, so you see multiple reflections. Or swords, if you have multiple swords, then you see your multiple reflections, you know. Or in darpana, mirrors. So no non-insane man will instruct his own reflections about anything to be done.
Isn't this similar to the argument we heard previously from Vishwanatha Mahadev?
Baladev.
Yes. Same.
Yeah, this is, Baladev is probably taking it from here. Generally, he takes Ramanuja as his template. Bhaditanavrittirabhi taihi na shakyate vaktum bhadakena advitiya atma jnanena atma vyatirikta bheda jnana karanasya jnana adhe vinashratvat vi chandra jnana adhautu chandraikatva jnanena paramarthika timiradi doshasya vi chandra jnana heto avinashratvat bhaditanavritti yukta anuvartamanam api prabala pramana bhaditatvena akinchitkaram. See, then he tackles this concept of bhaditanavritti. Two moods. Now, he explains that if you take the perception of a double moon, why do you perceive the double moon? You perceive the double moon because there is still a disease. The cause of your disease has not been removed. That's why you perceive double. Now, the cause of removal of ignorance is knowledge of the absolute truth. And the Supreme Lord already possesses the knowledge of the absolute truth. So you cannot say that the cause of delusion exists in him. He does not have the cause of delusion. So you cannot apply that Bhajatanavritti philosophy here. You cannot apply that here. Ihatu Vedajnanasya Svavishyasya Svakaranasya Aparamarthikatvena Vastu Yathatmya Jnana Vinashtatva Na kathanchid api bhajitanavritti sambhavati. It is not possible to invoke bhajitanavritti here. Bhajitanavritti is impossible here because the Lord has actual perception, because there is actual perception of the nature of entities. Ataha sarveshwarasya idanintana Guru Paramparayaha cha Tattva Jnanam Asti che Bheda Darshanam Tat Kariya Upadeshadi Asambhavaha. Then why would the Lord have this perception of differences? And the effect of that is his instruction. Bheda Darshanam Asti iti che. But he is seeing multiple differences. Mayavadi may argue. Ajnanasata Dhedosti Tattvena Agyatva Eva Sutaram Upadesho Na Sambhavati. But it is not possible for the Lord to instruct if he had to be ignorant. An ignorant person is not qualified to give instructions on spiritual matters. Prabhupada brings out this point also in his purport. Okay, then, you know, these Mayavadis, their concept of Guru is also. See, the Mayavad concept is this, that plurality of difference is unreal. Who teaches you this? A guru, a bona fide guru. But that bona fide guru is also unreal. And that Vedic knowledge that you are receiving, that is also unreal. Just like, for instance, the standard Shankarite example, you are in a dream. And some tiger is chasing you. And the tiger is chasing you, it's about to catch you. Then out of fear you wake up. So now the cause of you getting out of that dream is actually false. Similarly, the guru is trying to wake you up to reality, but he is false. The Vedas are bringing out knowledge of oneness, but the Vedas are also false. They are all false. All of this we understand. They are all mithya. Guruhu, the jnanam cha kalpitamiti chet. The Mayavadi may argue the guru is false, the knowledge is also false. Shishyat tad jnana yoh api kalpitatva tadapi anivartakam. Kalpitatve api purva virodhitvena nivartakam iti chet. But then that would be an insurmountable obstacle. If the guru is false, then the disciple would also be false. It's counter correlated. That would also be false. Kalpitatve api purva virodhitvena nivartakam iti chet. No, but even though it is imagined, even though it is false, because it contradicts the previous perception, therefore it removes that ignorance. Tat acharya jnane api samanam. But he is also, the acharya is also bewildered. If the acharya is bewildered and the shishya, the disciple is bewildered, everybody is bewildered. So how can that ever remove this? Tat deva nivartakam bhavati iti upadesha anarthakyam eva. Therefore their instructions are all useless. The instruction of a bewildered acharya to a bewildered disciple is useless. Iti kritam a samichina vadai narastai. Enough of this useless philosophy. He stops with it. You can see Prabhupada is also taking up the same thing. Sridhar Swami is very simple. He is not complex. But I want to read his explanation of Natvevaham to point out that he is not a Mayavadi. Academic scholars as well as Mayavadis and some Vaishnavas, they mistakenly think that Sridhar Swami is a Mayavadi. So therefore I want to point out his own comment on this. Yes.
For Mayavadi we also call them
Advaitavadi, yeah. Mithyavadi,
yeah.
Nirvishesha Brahmavadi.
And in our Mangalacharan we say Advaita Acharya also.
Yes.
So, does that name have to do anything with this Advaita?
No. Advaita, as it appears in the Vedic scriptures, refers to the various Vishnu forms of the Lord. Advaita Machyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayam.
Advaita is the name of Vishnu.
Advaita means non-dual. Advaita actually means non-different. Dvaita means dual. Advaita means non-dual. So, Advaita also can be taken to refer to Abheda, non-different. Okay, so Advaitavad means Abhedavad. Dvaitavad means Bhedavad. That's why we say Achintya Bhedavad. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sometimes would refer to it as Achintya Dvaita Dvaita. Same, the same. So now Advaita means Abheda. Now between the Lord and his plenary expansion, there is no substantial difference. I discussed this. There's no substantial difference. The only difference is I was reading from Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on Bhagavatam, and I pointed out that Chakravarti explains that whenever we talk about the Lord's plenary portions, it means that he possesses all the qualities of the original form Krishna, but he chooses not to manifest all of the qualities. He's only manifesting a few of those qualities as required for that pastime. So now Advaita Acharya, Advaitam Harinadvaita, he is non-different from Hari. He is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is actually Advaita with Krishna. So he is non-dual. Vishnu is non-dual with Vishnu. The living entities are definitely different from Vishnu. So that is correct usage of Advaita. It's a different context. In fact, Madhvacharya points out that the Mayavadis, they often give quotation from various statements in the Upanishads, Vishnu Purana, even Bhagavatam. In fact, Bhagavatam is one of the books that Mayavadis like so much. From every canto they'll quote so much of statements appeal to them to have Mayavadi Advaitic terminology. But Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they point out that the correct meaning of these statements are really there, yes. Like I pointed out from Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadivananturu. The plenary portions are all non-different from the Supreme Lord. So these words like Advaita, Advaya, even in Bhagavatam we find Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. There is one non-dual truth. You find so many places like this. But the correct meaning of it is different from what the Mayavadis are superimposing upon us. That they are coming up and saying, see, see, see. But they mean something else. So their interpretations are just different. Okay, regarding Natvevaham, I'll read out Sridhar Swami's commentary. It's very, very clear that he's a full-fledged, full-blooded Vaishnava. Just a normal person, just as Prabhupada presented him. Prabhupada, following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, stated Sridhar Swami is a follower of Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami teaches Shuddha Advaita. That means, he also talks in terms of oneness, but qualitative oneness. But they, Vaishnava means they accept the eternal difference between the living entities and the Lord. No matter which formulation they may have. Now the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they differ in their formulation of the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So somebody will use a language of oneness, somebody else will use a language of difference, whereas someone else will use a language of both oneness and difference. But they are all categorically different from Mayavadis. Mayavadis are called Kevala Advaitavadis. Whereas Sridhar Swami, Vishnu Swami, Vallabhacharya, they are all followers of Shuddha Advaitavada. So they distinguish themselves from Kevala Advaitavadis. They often write books against Kevala Advaitavada also. They will also say, yes, it is one. But it is one in this sense. It is not one in your sense. You are making it look into you're distorting it into something else. So Sridhar Swami is a follower of Vishnu Swami and he presents Shuddha Advaitava. Ashochatve Hetumaha Natvevahamiti. Why should you not lament? With this in mind, Krishna he presents the verse Natvevaham. Yatha aham parameshwaraha jatu kadachit lila vigrahasya avirbhava tirobhave api nasamiti naiva apitvasameva anaditva. Just as I, the Supreme Lord, who at no point in time did not exist, I, despite the appearance and disappearance of my pastime forms, I always existed because I am beginningless. Na cha tvam nasi hinabhu api tu asi eva. Similarly, you never not existed. You also existed. Imecha janadipan rupa nasannitina api tu asanneva. Madam shatvat. And it is not that these kings, they did not exist. They also always existed. Why? Madam shatvat. Because they are all my portions. See, he accepts that the living entities are his parts and parcels. Eternally. Eternally. Tatha atah param. Itah upariyapi na bhavishyama na stasyama iti cha naiva abitu stasyama eva. All of us will continue to exist. Janmam marana shunyatva ashochya iti artha. Because all of us are free from birth, death and so on. All of us are not there. We are not objects of lamentation. So he states that. Then I will come to Advaita. Advaita is very short. Very, very short commentary on this. He really begins to speak when it comes to Dehinosmen. He writes a few pages of commentary on that, on pointing out how the soul and the body are different. He spends some time on that. Regarding text 11, Madhu simply says, Pragyavadan Swam Manishottam Vachanani. That you are speaking learned words means you are speaking words from your own head, which is a way of criticizing in Vedic culture. If anyone speaks his own idea, he is condemned. You are supposed to speak what is in the Veda. Katham Ashochya, why you are lamenting? What is there that is unworthy of lamentation? The answer is Gatasun. You are lamenting over those who are not worthy of lamentation. The souls. The bodies. That's what he says in his first commentary. In his second commentary, he says, Prakarshena Jananti Iti Pragyaha. That that a learned person actually speak correctly. Tad avadaha pragyavadaha. See, he has split this word, pragyavada, differently. Look at this. Ashochyan anushochyastvam pragyavadan cha bhashase. So he is taking, instead of pragyavada, he is taking it as pragyavada. Those which are not words of the learner. So if you take it as pragyavada, then you should understand Krishna is speaking very sarcastically. Or you are speaking like a learned man. Literally, Krishna is saying you are speaking learned words, which you have to interpret it sarcastically to fit the context. Or you can take it like this. If you want to take it literally, then it is pragya avada. It is, you are speaking non-learned words. Pragya mata viruddha vadam vadasi. You are speaking words which are opposed to the conclusions of the learner. Natvevaham jatunasam. Kimeti, why? Natvevaham. Ishwara nityatvasya aprasutatva drishtantatvena aha. Just as I am eternal, and that is well known from the Upanishads. Yathaham nitya sarva vedanteshu prasiddhah evam tvam ete janadipashya nitya. Just as the very fact that I am eternal, that is well established in the Vedanta, which means the body of the Upanishads. Similarly, you as well as these kings, all of you are eternal. His second commentary goes into some, he reinforces this and he gives evidence from the Shruti and Smriti. Nityo Nityanam, Chetanas Chetanam, Eko Bahunam Yolidati Kama. Everyone is quoting that. He's also quoting from Skanda Purana. Sva Deha Yoga Vigamau Nama Janamriti Pura. The living entity is experiences birth and death, which are actually separation from the body or union with the body. Birth means a soul is given up body. Death means a soul is taken away from the body. This happens to the jiva. Mukter natu hareh kvachit. But this does not happen to Lord Hari. It gives an additional information. The idea is that you should not think that because Krishna is saying, all of us were eternal, and you shouldn't develop the idea, all of them reincarnate, so Krishna also reincarnates. So to avoid that misunderstanding, Madhva quotes from Skanda Purana. Then from the Nimbarka school, Keshav Kashmiri, he practically repeats these statements, but a little bit of extra information he gives under text 11. Ashochyanam ashochyastum. This is Keshav Kashmiri. He points out, gives evidence from the Narayana Upanishad, where in other Upanishads he quotes from the Smriti scriptures also, and he points out that the Supreme Lord wants Arjuna to understand what is his position. His position is that he is the controller of all the living and non-living entities, and he is the cause of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this world. And he is the nimitta and upadana causes. Now this is complicated. I will explain under, now I don't have time also. But I will explain in a different context when this comes up. There are two types of causes. He's both. He's both the instrumental cause or the efficient cause as well as the material cause of the universe. and the living entities. We will study this later. At a certain other point, Acharya Baladev will touch this point. So at that point we will study it. Or when we come across it, then we will study this. What is the meaning of this statement? So anyway, he points out that Lord Krishna gave him instructions, educated him on his position, about his nature, and it is this education, spiritual education, which can completely remove the lamentation and delusion of the living entities. And therefore he began by chastising his position, by chastising his Arjuna's concepts, by saying that you have no learning at all. Tattva vivechini buddhi panda sajata yeshamte panditaha. That panda means discriminating intelligence, or the discriminating faculty, which gives you clear and distinct knowledge of various features of the absolute truth. Those for whom such knowledge is arisen are the panditas. And you don't have that, and therefore you are not a pandit. Otherwise, his comment on Natvevaham is just simple, like we normally understand. But his comment on Dehinosmin is also very long, very long, similar to Madhva. Okay, I could not even deal with today's verses. This happens sometimes, but this is an important point, so we will deal with the verses tomorrow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.